What we discussed so far is that both aspects are true, and that not all chumras are created equal. Some have greater importance, and some have lesser importance. Some have a greater price tag, and some have a lesser price tag. And in truth, you have to have a broad picture of halacha in order to know what to apply when. That's why it's best to have a Rebbe. If a person is going to come to me and say, I know us Ashkenazim don't put soup on the hot plate on Shabbos, because we hold that you don't just take cold soup out of the fridge and put on a hot plate on Shabbos. But that's a chumrah that's not for me. He's misunderstanding what's going on here. It's not a chumrah. It's our minog, meaning our minog. Ashkenazim's minog is that you don't put soup on a hot plate, but cold soup on a hot plate.
Is that just liquid or soup?
Liquid. I'm talking about liquid.
Right, okay.
We have to understand what's a chumrah and what's a minog and what's a kula and which chumras are obligatory to everyone on a basic level and which chumras are really up to us. Different people can decide different things, and that's where if you have a Rebbe, hopefully he's going to be able to guide you. Generally, if we're talking about chumras, if we're not talking about minhagim, if we're talking about chumras, so then most chumras that you're going to encounter are not things that you have to worry about. And that's why we usually give the general rule that don't worry about chumras now. First, focus on keeping the 613 mitzvot, because chumras carry price tags, and the inconvenience of leading an observant life after a person has been accustomed to a non-observant life is very, very big. The Talmud discusses if we convert a child without his consent before he's an adult. So the Talmud discusses that there are circumstances where we would do it because it's to his benefit. So the Talmud says, then why don't you do it when he's an adult? Then it's also to his benefit. And the Talmud says, yes, technically, spiritually, it's to his benefit. But practically, in this world, he doesn't view it that way. Because once a person has become accustomed to a life of promiscuity, once a person has become accustomed to a life where everything's available and free, so then you suddenly give them 613 mitzvos, and it's very, very difficult. It feels very constricting. So although the Talmud is talking about someone who's not Jewish, but let's say his parents became Jewish, or for whatever reason he was adopted by Jewish parents, there's reason to think that it would be to his benefit to convert. So then if he was adopted as a baby, so then we say, well, he got used to an Orthodox life. He's going to get used to an Orthodox life. It's to his benefit. We could do it without asking him. But if he's coming in as an adult, it's very, very hard. And taking that into account, we say that our recommendation is that when a person has to choose, so let him first choose working on the 613 mitzvot that he's obliged to do, and leave the chumras for another 10 years, and we'll talk then. And like I always say, chances are in 10 years I'll tell you to wait another 10 years again. Because it's hard. It's hard. The Gemara says that to do tshuva at an older age is one of the most difficult things. The Gemara discusses that it's very hard to be consistent once a person has been accustomed to one lifestyle. To change a lifestyle, to be consistent, is very, very difficult. There's one more point which isn't so relevant to the tshuva process, it's relevant in general to halacha, and that is that my tradition is that in every halachic question you have to paskin the person before you paskin the shaila. You have to understand who the person is, where they're coming from, where they're going to, and what's going on in their life in order to correctly answer them. And at the root of that tradition is the understanding that halacha is dynamic, and that what might be obligatory for one person is not at all the responsibility of another person. The Talmud tells us that one rabbi hired a group of workers to carry barrels for him, and they were carrying the barrel halfway through the job. The barrel broke. So they went to court, and he said they should pay him for the barrel, and they said they shouldn't. And back and forth, and the rabbi who was presiding over the court said they don't have to pay for the barrel. Fine. Next, they said, okay, but we worked half a day. He should pay us for our work half a day. He said, what do you mean they worked half a day? They broke my barrel. They were supposed to deliver that barrel there. So they worked half a day, but I shouldn't have to pay him for the work. Well, the rabbi presiding on the case told him, pay him for their work. Pay him for the half a day's work. So he asked him, is that the halacha? So he said, yes. Lifnim mishur hasadin. You got to go beyond the call of duty. Wait a second. He asked him, is that the halacha? He answered him, yes, you got to do beyond the call of duty. That's not a halacha. That's a level of piety. The answer is that there are levels of piety that on a certain level, once a person has reached a certain level, that's his halacha. He has no choice. He has to live on that level of piety, whether he likes it or not. So by the same token that we apply certain stringencies on a person, whether he likes it or not, on his level, he can't do different. By that same token, a person who's on the other side of the spectrum, he's contending with the 613 mitzvot, and they're very, very difficult for him, and that's the nature of the tshuva process. So then we say, okay, then the halacha for him is that he should be lenient in many areas, so that will better facilitate his observance of the 613 mitzvot in the long run. In the short run, when a person begins a chumrah, it's always, that's not a big deal, and a person feels holy and everything. But the question is, what happens after a year or two? And remember, there are two major reasons why stringencies are problematic. One is that they make the whole picture more difficult, the whole of leading an observant lifestyle more difficult. And two is that when a person can't live up to it in his mind, he is now fallen from being an observant Jew. As much as he can understand theoretically that this is a stringency and this is a mitzvah, at the end of the day, a person feels like it's a package deal. And if, let's say, a person decided he's accepting the stringency, that he doesn't rely on the Erev. So he says, on Shabbos, I'm not going to carry. When that person starts carrying on Shabbos, it's going to be very hard for him to discern between carrying on Shabbos and turning a light on Shabbos. Turning a light on is biblically prohibited and carrying is permissible. It's just that he wants to be extra stringent. He wants to take on the stringency, so he did it.
But he comes into a situation where he needs to carry.
I have no issue with a Jew that relies on the Erev and carries.
Right, but
I have an issue with a person who did the tshuva and decides after 2 years of doing tshuva that he's...
but someone who generally doesn't trust an Erev...
What does it mean doesn't trust the Erev?
He really needs one.
Fine. So I have no problem. I'm just saying that we have to remember that it's very difficult for a person that when he's starting out, it all feels like it's the same. And even if he's not starting out, the truth is that even for someone who was born into an Orthodox lifestyle, at the end of the day, the nature of a person is that he feels like it's all one package. And it's very difficult. The Rambam's son writes a similar thought about the Agados of Chazal. Rabbi Avram ben Arambam writes that people sometimes try to stand up and protect the Agados of Chazal. They say, if this is what Chazal said, that's the way the world runs. So he says that at some point someone's going to prove to them that it doesn't work the way they think it does. Science has a different understanding as to how the world runs. And this person in his attempts to protect Chazal he's equated his understanding and his application of Chazal's agados, Chazal's metaphorical sayings, and he thinks that's to be taken literally. And then when he's proven that he's wrong in that understanding, what'll happen is he'll disregard everything Chazal had to say. Because he hasn't discerned between what Chazal said in agadic form and what Chazal said in halachic form. You have to know the context and know to understand what Chazal we're talking about. So that same thought that Rabbi Avram ben Arambam says about our understanding of Chazal's Agadot, we can also apply to stringencies. So that's another point that people sometimes overlook, that taking on a stringency it not only weakens the general structure, but when a person will not be able to live up to that stringency, it's very hard to forego the stringency and maintain the other mitzvot. Well, in general, if you know something's a chumrah, so then, unless you learn otherwise, I say don't adopt it. You see, all of Israel, people are relying on the Erev. So you could assume that they have what to rely on in using the Erev. You know that if those who are not using the Erev, so they have a certain stringency, good for them.
But also, this is one place in Israel I've gone, in Kfar Tepuach, I've gone for Shabbat a few times, and then we go over to Tepuach West, which is not really a yeshuv, it's more of an outpost. And there's an Arab that doesn't connect it. And everyone in Israel is there's so trusting that there's an Arab everywhere. Sometimes you really need to stop and ask.
I agree, right? Oh, but that's the difference between stringency in the halacha.
Right.
Fine.
But when it's something that you see everyone not doing, you shouldn't assume that it's that that's okay to do. Like with the soup, if you see everyone not putting soup on a thing, you shouldn't just assume it's okay.
Right. The general assumption is what Am Yisrael does, what the Orthodox congregation does generally is okay. They're not. You see something and you want to know if you have to do it, so ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Maybe there is room to be lenient.
Do you think there's any in your own personal knowledge, is there any group of Orthodox or whatever that doctor trying to keep as many rooms as possible, that's their
the Gemara tells us, but now we're going into a totally different discussion about chumrot in general. The Gemara tells us, maybe we'll do this as a separate recording.